Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to start in John 15, and in the first verse, the scripture says, Jesus talking, of course, said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So the first thing that we see here is not only the oneness of God, but we also understand the agreement of what God has designed in the throne room of heaven, and the agreement of the work of the Son of God on earth, and what he is beginning to release in authority and in deliverance and in the kingdom of God, and even in the church age that would come starting in the book of Acts. So he said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So that's a powerful contrast between those that are maturing in the likeness of Christ and those that basically are kind of revealed to be a hypocrite or something that is false, something that's not authentic. And I think that what we're seeing here is the authenticity of not only the oneness of God, but also the oneness of God and his church, the agreement between God and his church, the relationship, and how important it is that we have connection with our Heavenly Father, that we have connection in the kingdom of God in a personal relationship with God. Now, when he's talking about every branch not bearing fruit, he's not necessarily talking about soul winning. That is a part of it, but it is not the whole constitution of it. It is really about the character of Christ. Because if you and I, in our relationship with God, and if we're connected to him, if we have this oneness relationship with him, if we're in spiritual agreement with him, if we're in harmony with heaven and in alignment with the Almighty God, if we're not playing, you know, to the orchestra and symphony of our own self-righteousness, then we become discordant. But we're in this oneness and unity of purpose and significance with the kingdom of God, then what we begin to bear, the fruit that he's talking about, really is revealed in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, temperance, faith, gentleness, kindness. Because it becomes a higher law, it becomes a law of living, it becomes a law of relationship in the kingdom of God. So it's quite startling that he would begin some of this revelatory understanding of what it is to stay connected in the kingdom of God and what it is to stay in an intimate relationship with him, because you're going to bear fruit. But he starts out with the negative by saying, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I think what we have here is both examination and elimination. And on a day when we're going to be taking communion, what does 1 Corinthians 11 teach us about communion? Let a man examine himself. So this is not about me being judgmental of the person sitting next to me. So wives, give your husband a break. No, just kidding. It's probably too early for that. You hadn't had enough caffeine for me to start picking on you. For like, let me have another cup of coffee before you start shooting arrows at me. So let a man examine himself. We have to look in the mirror of God's word ourselves, right? Because we're supposed to be a reflection of him. But what happens when we get honest with God? We start finding our own deficiencies, don't we? we start realizing there's some area that I need to work on. It's kind of what I taught here Wednesday night. Remember the graphic I showed you where it showed low, medium, and high? When it talks about standards. So there might be some areas we feel like, man, we're A plus there. We're passing the grade there. We're doing really well. We're a 4.0 student. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost points something out and goes, oh, well, we're kind of like D minus over here. We're almost flunking that one. We're going to have to work on that. Like some folks are really good at loving. They're very compassionate people. But at the same time, they might be easily stressed out by a thousand things and don't have much peace. So you see, we all have something that we need God to be pruning on us. That's why going back to John 15 and 2, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, I say let a man examine himself, because what we see here is examination and then elimination. He's examining, all right, what's bearing fruit, what's not bearing fruit. All right, great. You're bearing fruit, but I'm going to even help you bear more fruit by eliminating things from you that shouldn't be there. So maybe you've got love and compassion and peace, but you're dealing with some pride in some areas. Maybe you stand in front of the mirror 5 minutes too long. You keep staring at the reflection in the mirror, it's really not going to change. But the point is, if I examine myself and I stay humble before God, the examination leads to elimination. He purgeth it. Why? So that brings forth more fruit. You know what the devil likes to do, though? The devil likes to trigger things in us. It makes us feel like we're getting picked on. We're being abused. God doesn't care about us. He's neglecting our needs. He's rejected us. He's abandoned you. He's forsaken you. He doesn't love you anymore. Because there's the pain of the purging. And often the pain of purging can feel the same as the pain of punishment. But they're not the same result, are they? Punishment is because you've done something wrong. But purging is because you've done something right. You're bearing fruit. But he wants you to do even better. And so I go to the Lord in prayer. I live at the altar. I tie this old rugged, prideful, sinful flesh to the horns of the altar and say, not my will, but thine be done. And so again, he's not, you know, this is not a time of compliments, but neither is it a time of condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8 and 1. So when we're looking here at John 15, this is not condemnation, it's conviction. It's character building. It's development of the character of Christ in us that we can bear more fruit. And I think that's the beauty of communion, because if I'm going to take communion, what is my repentance? Well, I want it to be more than I'm just some dirty sinner, because you're not a dirty sinner anymore. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been through this Acts 2:38 experience of a personal encounter of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That gospel, that good news, has now become your brand. You're a part of that family. So as a child of God, you're not a dirty sinner anymore, but you might be a deficient saint. So there's still some things that you need to work on. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't let the devil make you feel like you're a devil, because as a disciple, you've got some things you need to work on. I mean, how do you think Apostle Peter felt? There they are in Caesarea Philippi. He has just declared with great boldness. There is no timidity in his tongue. This is part of what's good about him, and it's also part of what's bad about him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas. For flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you can kind of see Peter going. Looks over at the other disciples. Who's going to be the preacher at Pentecost? But a few minutes later, when Jesus starts talking about the cross, Peter, like, his countenance changes. Yep, this was a time he should have stayed timid and not tempestuous. And he spoke up too soon. Oh Lord, don't talk like that. Well, we don't want you talking like that. This is not going to happen. And then he says to him, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, it hadn't been that long. He's calling him like Peter, the great rock. And now he's calling him a devil. Was he really a devil? No, but he was just letting Peter know. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Because no matter how good of a disciple you are, you still need some development. Because if any of us get to Enoch, now he was 4.0. He was valedictorian of Perfection University. And he was translated. So if we're sitting here and any of you just suddenly disappear, and it's not really the rapture of the church, but you suddenly disappear and you leave a pile of clothes behind, and we find out, after all the terror of feeling like we've missed the rapture, that we didn't miss the rapture. You were just an Enoch that arrived at perfection and the Lord couldn't leave you in the world anymore. That hasn't happened. So if that hasn't happened, what does that mean? I still need some perfecting. I still need the potter to work on me. I still have some areas that need some development. So that both brings to me a certain sense of comfort and encouragement, not religious relaxation, not to get lazy in this luxury of grace. Well, I'm not going to be perfect anyway, so I'll just drag along. That's not what it means. If there's areas that I need development in, then I strive for that. I strive for the mastery. I reach for that. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of Christ. Or high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So even with all that we could have achieved and all the fruit that we might be bearing, the Lord's saying, you still got some work. Let me prune, let me clip this little thing away, and let me get that out of the way. And, you're doing good. You got some good prayer, but you had a little crop of self-righteousness there the other day. Let me get that out of the way. But you are doing good, but I want you to be great. This is John 15 is the original good to great book. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. Just get on the bus with Jesus. And then what I love is verse number 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now he's giving a little bit of the secret of how he's going to develop you and how he's going to prune you and how he's going to purge you. He doesn't just use the commentaries of men. He doesn't use the accusations of the devil, because God doesn't listen to an accuser and an intercessor at the same time. It becomes the metaphor of Daniel in the den of lions. What does the Bible say? He stopped the mouths of the lions. Why? Because Daniel had already got his mouth open. God listens to your prayer. God listens to your intercession. God hears the cries of his people. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill in Psalm 3. That's an encouragement to us. What does he use? What's his scalpel? What is his surgeon's tool? How is he going to do this purging on me? How's he going to clip those things away from me? By the word. He's going to teach me his word. And the word in me is going to do the purging. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Boy, that's powerful. Now we get a sense of, we cannot just be oneness in doctrine. What does it mean to be oneness in doctrine? We believe Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Well, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you might even quote it in Hebrew. And you understand that when Jesus said, he that seeth me hath seen the Father. You have no qualms with that. You have no confusion about that. You could sit down and talk to anybody in any setting about the oneness of God. But we have to be more than oneness in doctrine. We have to be oneness in demonstration. We have to be oneness in character. And this is what he's talking about in verse 4. That this abiding in him is what gives us a certain sense of dependency. So if this tree were real, let's pretend it is. If it's saying, if I just were to take off this branch, if I were to clip off this branch and just lay it over here, he's saying, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine or on the tree, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So the very opportunity for me to be fruitful comes from my relationship to God. Not a one-time episode, not a one-time encounter, not a one-time experience, and then it just becomes a religious monument. And we visit the museum every week. This is not a museum. This is not a place of apologetics. We don't come here and just study history. We come here to enjoy the presence of a living, holy God who is alive and well right now. And our relationship with him, my connection to him, my oneness with him, my alignment with him, my harmony with him is what allows me to bear fruit. So that brings me back to my total dependence on God. There is something comforting about the fact that if I am alive, if I take my next breath, if I'm going to have success, or if I stand up out of the moments of failure, if I turn the stumbling blocks into stepping stones, if I become successful or achieve or accomplish anything, I am totally dependent on him. In success or failure, in the sun or the rain, in the seasons of spring or winter, it makes no difference. As long as I'm connected to him, my relationship with him is what bears the results. I'm not self-sufficient. I don't get to just act with entitlement. I don't get to just claim my rights because I'm totally dependent on him. I think that's comforting. That's strengthening. Now, there's a balance to that. As Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what that means is you got to make sure you keep your relationship with God. You got to make sure you're connected to the vine. You got to make sure you're staying connected to God and his kingdom. Don't get disconnected. Don't get amputated. Don't get removed from it. Don't get severed from it. Does that make sense? And I've used this before, but you know, if you were to cut away a branch and you could see that you cut a branch off a tree and just lay it out there on the ground, well, at first, because it's still got green leaves on it, it may appear that it's alive. But come back and examine it a few days later, when the leaves have browned and become crunchy and crumbly, and then you know, you step on it and there's no life to it. And it's brittle. And then you realize it doesn't have any life in it because it's been severed. It's been cut off. But let me give you some encouragement. Just because you've been cut doesn't mean you've been cut off. Just because you have pain doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love you. Just because you're going through the trial doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Just because you're having to endure hardship doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love you. Amen? But my connection to him, my intimate relationship with the Lord, my dependency on the Lord in staying connected to him is going to make me fruitful and keep me green, keep me alive, keep me instant in season, out of season. So remember, just because you've been cut, and there's going to be times when you're going to feel the blade of bad emotions. You're going to feel the sword and the tip of the spear from the enemy's attack. But that doesn't mean you've been cut off. Lord, prune me. Just don't remove me. Purge me. Just don't sever me from your will and from your presence. Praise God. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. So I can't do it without him. I can't do it without his love. I can't do it without his power. Then he goes on to say that I am the vine, ye are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What a powerful revelation. For without me, ye can do nothing. But he brings it right back. So you were bearing fruit. I pruned you. Now you're bearing more fruit. And in this oneness relationship, in this staying connected in the kingdom of God, in this constant pruning process and developing and growing and maturing and conforming to the image of Christ, I'm becoming more like him. I'm growing up in his grace. I'm continuing in his mercy. I'm on this journey as a disciple. I'm learning. I'm adding to virtue knowledge, and I'm adding to knowledge, you know, patience, or and I'm adding to all of, I'm gaining things as I grow in the kingdom of God. Then you come to a place of much fruit, but he still reminds you, for without me, you can do nothing. And so every now and then, you just got to remind the enemy, you don't like how I am? Talk to my dad. Talk to Jesus. He made me this way. I'm connected to him. I'm just a branch on his vine. You don't like me being a soul winner and setting captives free? You don't like me sharing my testimony and giving hope to somebody that's in a hurting world? You don't want me storming the gates of hell with prayer? You got to talk to my dad about it. Because without him, I can do nothing. Any ability, any creativity, any discernment, any gifting, it's all because I got it from him. I'm a part of this family tree. Takes me back to the old rugged cross where the DNA of deliverance made me a child. I've been born of the water and of the spirit, and I'm in the kingdom of his grace and his mercy, and I can do nothing without him. That's why Paul would say to the Galatian church, a man that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, deceiveth himself. Because you have to remember, for without me, ye can do nothing. He just said you're going to bear much fruit, but don't you get arrogant. Don't you start becoming judgmental of somebody else. Don't you start playing the comparison game. Oh, look at what I've done for the kingdom of God. Because that's what the Pharisee did in the temple in Jesus' observation. Remember? He said, oh, I thank God that I'm not like this sinner over here. And the Lord's not impressed when we compare ourselves with one another. Because without me, ye can do nothing. Any success, any achievement, any accomplishment, any fruit, any miracles, whatever it is, prosperity, successes, harvest, crop, fields of grain, it's all because of him. And when we keep that perspective, because you know what happens when people start becoming something unto themselves, when they start getting full of themselves, then they start allowing themselves to feel like, I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to listen to anybody. They become a God unto themselves. And one of the first revelations of apostate or reprobate behavior is a thankless attitude. They become ingrates. They are no longer thankful for the simplicities of God, the fundamentals, the everyday things. And it just would just begin to walk around with this presumption and attitude of entitlement. But if we remember what the scripture said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, now, that brings me back to say, thank you, Lord, that I even get to put this suit on today. Thank you, Lord, that I even get to be a part of a church like this. Thank you, Lord, food on my table. Thank you, Lord. Health in my body. Thank you, Lord, for the many times you've healed me. Thank you, Lord, for the many times you've encouraged me. Thank you, Lord, for being the lifter up of my head, my glory, and my shield. Thank you for being my buckler. Thank you for being my refuge in the storm. Thank you for being my protector and my provider. Thank you for being my healer and my helping hand. Thank you, Lord, for being my strength in the weakest moments. Thank you for being encouragement when I'm my most frail and fragile and fearful. Isn't that great? Because what do? I'm coming back to say, for without me, you can do nothing. I can't even make it through the next day And I know the world like to call you a weakling because they think by flexing their muscle of humanism and their ingenuity and capabilities and education or whatever it is that they may have, you know what? It don't matter how strong they are right now and how rich they are right now. They're going to wither up like a prune and be buried in the ground if the Lord tarries. If they live to be 120, they still going to die someday. And all that braggadocious rhetoric ain't going to mean a thing. So let them mock you all they want to mock you because you have this dependency vocabulary on God.
I feel that giving you my life is the very least that I can do.
I give you my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one who's worthy of all of my praises. I give you all my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.